Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to the year 2025. The Super Bowl is here, and the birds are in the bowl. The birds are in the bowl. The birds are in the bowl. There is nothing else to say. Start the pod, Davis. Let's go. Davis, welcome back to the podcast. I just want to start off the pod by saying this. This is the first time I've been able to get really excited about the Super Bowl victory, Davis. I was a little sick on Sunday. I was not feeling great. My whole family was sick, so everyone was excited. And the game was a little, you know, not as climactic as some would say. So it was tough for me to really get the vibes going the last couple of days. Been sick, been busy. But Davis, we have gone on a little hiatus, but this is what we've been talking about. This is all we've been hoping for. This is everything we've been hoping for the last 2 years since the Eagles-Chiefs last Super Bowl matchup. This has been honestly in the making since really the last Super Bowl victory. We knew we were going to get back here, but we knew we were going to get another Super Bowl victory soon. And Davis, I know the Chiefs are favored in this Super Bowl. I know that the Eagles lost last time. But the Eagles are the better team, in my opinion. And this feels like this could be an amazing matchup. I know everyone's not excited about the matchup, but I really like the Birds' chance. I love the fact that we're here against the Chiefs again. I think I talked to you about it last week and said I was a little nervous about it. But now that it's here, I love it. The Birds are the bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we obviously made it 2 years ago, and that started the three-peat chances for the Chiefs. They're now looking to be the first team to three-peat in NFL history. They're actually the first team in NFL history to even attempt a three-peat in a Super Bowl. No team that won back-to-back ever made it to the Super Bowl the third time. There's history on both sides of this. I mean, we're seeing Saquon Barkley. He is only about 35 rushing yards away from breaking the all-time regular season plus playoffs rushing record held by Terrell Davis, Super Bowl MVP, actually. This matchup is going to be unbelievable, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, this is, like you said, this is the matchup that America probably didn't want. Yeah. But I think people are changing tides here, and I think people are actually really looking forward to this matchup the more they think about it, because let's be completely honest and unbiased here. These are the best two teams in the NFL. These are the two teams that should be there. We have the Eagles, who started the year 2-2, are now they've gone 15-1 in the last 16 games, and their one loss, Jalen Hurts got hurt in the first quarter. We have the Chiefs. They started the year off on an unbelievable winning run. They've only lost one game when their starters have played so far this year. We're going to see history no matter what.
Yeah. I will say, before we get into the Eagles stuff, the buzzsaw that awaits a Patrick Mahomes is terrifying because, like, he's not in his peak right now. The Chiefs' defense is what brought them this far. Like, obviously, Patrick Mahomes did very well this year. He made do without Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown for most of the year, two of his top targets, and they still were 15-1. But that defense, man, is really, really, really good. I think they are, you know, beatable, but this buzzsaw that awaits Patrick Mahomes. I just want to read his first 7 years, the results of his career, the first 7 years. Year one, AFC Championship. Year two, won the Super Bowl. Year three, lost the Super Bowl. Year four, AFC Championship. Year five, won the Super Bowl. Year six, won the Super Bowl. Year seven, he's in the Super Bowl again. This guy, we should give him his props because we're Eagles fans and we're going to talk about the Eagles, but I can't remember a career that started off that well ever.
In sports, Ethan, I would say. This could sound horrible. I try to be as unbiased as possible, right? Okay. I feel like a pretty unbiased Eagles fan in comparison to Eagles fans out there. And Patrick Mahomes has had the best start to an NFL career in history, and I think possibly in sports history. Let me throw it out there that those two AFC championship losses, he both lost in overtime. So, like, there weren't blowouts. Like, he's had a chance to make the Super Bowl every single year of his career. And I would also like to give props to Andy Reid. You know, Eagles fans aren't going to like to hear that. A lot of them are. I'm definitely on the Andy Reid train. You know, it was time for him to go when he left. That's fine. Yes. He didn't work out here, but you know, there's no reason to hate on the guy. The guy brought us to four NFC championships in a row.
I have a reason to hate on. He didn't win a freaking Super Bowl.
How many coaches out there haven't won a Super Bowl?
How many coaches spend most of their career with a team, leave, and then find success?
I mean, he was with the Eagles for 10 years. He was with the Eagles for 10 years. I can find you other NFL coaches who coached teams for 10 years and did not win a Super Bowl. And I bet you'd be shocked how many coaches are on that list. Like, I mean, you just even some of the guys right now, look at Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's been with the Bills for like 6 years.
It's just no one's going to remember Andy Reid as an Eagles coach, like, at all.
Agreed. I prefer it that way. Let's be honest. Super Bowl. Coming up in, T-minus 11 days, 10 days by the time this podcast comes out.
Yep. It's in New Orleans. I kind of love that, Davis. The last time a New Orleans Super Bowl here was?
Power outage?
Yeah, the power outage game. The Niners and the Ravens was the last NOLA Super Bowl. And, you know, we beat the Saints in New Orleans this year. So, you know. Got a little bit of chemistry, a little something there. So I like that a lot. Also, Davis, I'm going to throw out there something to think about. Last year, the Eagles were terrible, really bad. The entire year, I don't care that they started 10-1. But right before that collapse happened, they did beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Correct.
Jalen Hurts has played very well against the Chiefs. Is that something you will carry it going into this game? Do you think Jalen Hurts can play his ass off again? Because, like, I think he's shown that we don't need him to play his ass off to win. And, like, that's been the whole point, I think, of media pundits, is to not tell him he's bad, but that this team isn't completely relying on him, which is a fair point. But to win a game like this, he needs to go step for step with Mahomes, correct?
I'm going
to
say –
doesn't need to outplay him. He needs to go step for step.
I'm going to say, yeah, he has to be a quarterback. Like, but he hasn't shown a time in recent memory this year where he has had to do anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People made fun of him for throwing less than 300 yards in the first two playoff games that we had where we beat the Packers and the Rams, but we didn't need him to throw crazy. And the second game was the second half was a snowstorm.
Yep.
Not only that, Saquon Barkley is having an incredible run on the ground his last three games. Let's not forget this. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts threw for over 300 yards. Like,
yep, that's what I'm
saying. He can do it. He did it against this Chiefs team that looks very similar to how they are now. They still had Spags as their defensive coordinator. People are saying the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. I kind of agree. But
you're one of the best assistant coaches, period, ever.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And he's okay with being a defensive coordinator. You know, we're not hearing his name getting talked about.
Well, I don't know if he's jobs. He was interviewed by the Raiders this offseason, and I heard some people talking about him. And it is worth mentioning that his only head coaching experience was with the St. Louis Rams when they were still in St. Louis. And, I think they were like 7-9-ish those 2 years. Like, he's not a bad coach. I think nobody did well with the St. Louis Rams team. So, like, I think they're very fortunate that one tenure didn't go well. Because let's just say the Raiders did hire him now. I think it might go well. I'm just saying.
But he knows his place. And I want to throw that right back over to Jalen Hurts. He knows his place. And he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Fair.
To hand the ball off to his best running back and the best running back in the NFL. And I'm okay with that. And you know what? Jalen Hurts is okay with that because we've known by the time he lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all he cares about is winning. Even when he signed that mega deal, the first thing that came out of his mouth is, I'm doing this for a Super Bowl. Like, it's all about a championship. I haven't won anything. You know, I get the contract, but I haven't won anything. Sure. So I'm excited to see what we can do as an Eagles fan. Like, you know, I understand, in my opinion, we are the better team. We pound for pound, 22 man versus 22 man, we are the better team. But I completely understand why the Chiefs are favored in this game because they have a guy at the helm named Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid coaching the team.
Yeah, and it's just a couple stats for Hurts haters. First Eagles quarterback to reach two Super Bowls. Fifth quarterback ever to reach two Super Bowls before turning 27. Crazy. Good for him. NFL record, 7 straight postseason games without an interception with at least 20 passing attempts.
Yep.
And the most postseason rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. This guy is not Cam Newton. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Joe Burrow. He's Jalen Hurts, and he's a winning quarterback. At the end of the day, that's it. He's a winning player. He had this pedigree at Alabama. Obviously, he didn't completely carry it over to Oklahoma, but, like, he was a winner in college. You just those national championships, like, take that away. You can see that. This guy was a winner. He took his spot back from Tua Tagovailoa. He made his own spot. Probably going to be the Heisman if Joe Burrow didn't go Super Saiyan, like, nuclear that game, that season, I'm sorry. But, like, this guy is a winner straight up. So I am very, very excited because the stage is set, man. The stage is absolutely set for a banger game. Hopefully there are no flags looking at you, Zebra refs, that get in the way this time, because I just wanted to kind of also give you the opportunity to talk about flags and Mahomes and all that stuff right now, because I mean, that's been basically the topic of the postseason. It has been the refs, especially in these Chiefs games, like that Texans game when he like flopped when he got pushed as he was going out of bounds and they called a flag on it. And
they didn't call a flag on that one. A lot of people think they did. They did not call a flag.
I'm talking about the one where he flopped and did get a
flag. Oh, the one. Yes. The helmet contact. That was yes. A flag. Yes.
That one. That's the one I'm talking about. Like, there's been other instances where I think that's happened too in playoffs games since, and there were no flags. So are you worried about the refs in this game?
No, you can't be worried about them.
No, you can't.
Especially as a player. I don't want to see this get, you know, misconstrued as, no, you know, we're the better team, but with the help of the refs, blah, 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 all this. No. Look, I'll tell you this, a few stats on both sides. I saw a stat earlier this week that I think it's 12 games in a row in the playoffs that the Chiefs have played in where their opposing team has racked up more penalty yards than the Chiefs. It happens. It's a weird stat. It's a very weird and kind of suspect stat. But then you look at it on the other side and you look at the Josh Allen play last week. I'm going to tell you something that people don't want to hear. I don't think Josh Allen got that first down. Like, I'm going to be honest. His back was turned. Nothing is conclusive. Nothing was conclusive. So, you know, I'm okay with some of the calls that have been blown out of proportion. I'm okay with being in the middle about. But, yes, I agree. Mahomes is a smart enough quarterback. He knows what he's doing and taking hits on purpose in the field of play or whatever to rack up flags. You just got to play smart and you just got to play football. And here's my thing. Don't let a single flag determine the game, just like it did 2 years ago with the holding call with Bradbury. Like, the game should not be in the hands of the referees. By the time we're up by 24, it doesn't matter if they throw a pass interference, or it doesn't matter if they throw a rough in the pass area. So that's what I would say is just beat them straight up. Don't let a single flag beat you, because that's all Buffalo is, you know, hollering and crying about right now. But
yeah, seriously,
you gotta beat the champs to be the champs. That's what Josh Allen said himself.
Yeah, and there's something very poetic about the Chiefs going into New Orleans looking for the three-peat, and the birds are back looking to avenge the opportunity to stop this from even starting. We should have beaten them 2 years ago, like you said. That flag should not have gotten in the way. We should have been able to get the ball with the last, minute of game clock remaining and possibly tie the game with a field goal. Brutal, brutal stuff. But, Davis, this team around the edges is better. Shayshon Barkley is our running back this time. He is so freaking good, man. Like, I can't just, like, put into words how powerful it is to have a running back, especially the position of running back that's been lost for so long. But to have a guy that's so good that you're like, he's going to break it every single time he gets handed the ball. And then not only are you just saying that to yourself, but he probably will. And like every single game he has one of these, this guy, I mean, like watching him at Penn State and watching him while he was at Penn State, I was like, this guy's going to be really good. Like, but part of me was like he's so good in college right now, he's being wasted. Like, I feel like when he gets to the league, it's not going to be that bad. but he's, I feel like he's like only gotten better. He's like literally only gotten better. And I feel really bad for him that he's been on the Giants for like 5 years.
I know.
Because like, what was he doing the last 5 years? It's crazy, crazy. Yep. But just Saquon Barkley being the Eagle is crazy, man. Like this guy.
It really is. I mean, obviously it hit hard to home this year. Two Penn State guys, he didn't come to the Eagles. It was awesome. We were actually like doing the podcast at the time pretty regularly, which we're hoping to pick up again. Fingers crossed. No, but we were doing it, and like seriously, we were both ecstatic for it. We both said he, you know, has a chance of being the top running back in the league. And not only was that the case, he may have had the best running back season this decade, maybe even this century.
He
might
be the best free agent signing in the history of sports. He could be the greatest free agency signing in the history of Philadelphia. Like,
yep, we could go down the list. Goes on and on. I mean, it showed literally. I'll go right. We're going to talk about the NFC title game just a little bit, but. I mean, literally first play of the game, 60 yard touchdown. I mean, that was maybe the most insane thing I've ever seen. You know, he broke like four tackles out of it too. You know, again, this guy is just so good, but I don't want to give him, I'm not saying the credit also has to go to our offensive line because our offensive line is so unbelievably dominant right now.
Shout out Cam Jurgens for coming in that game. That was crazy. Yes,
seriously. These guys are dogs. I mean, seriously, like this reminds me of the offensive line that we had in 2017. You know, I know we had Kelsey in 2022 and, you know, our line looked very similar.
Shout out Kelsey for, geez.
But 2017, you know, we had Jason Peters on the left side. We still had Lane Johnson on the right side. Like, you know, that team was really good. That offensive line was really good. And that's what helped Nick Foles become an absolute iconic legend in the city of Philadelphia. He's a statue outside of our stadium because of that offensive line, in my opinion. I'll tell you right now, I think that I'll tell you unbiasedly that I do think the Eagles are going to win the game because of their depth and their winning ability in the trenches of the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah. Like they have a Chris Jones, we have a Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Yep. Everyone in the matchup, they have a Karlaftis. We have a Bond. Like, you know what I mean? We beat them on some of these. You know what I mean?
We got a Nolan Smith. I don't know if they can match that.
They can have Chris Jones. That's fine. But I think we beat him on every single part of the offensive line. You know, maybe Creed Humphrey. I guess he's all right. But I mean, I think we beat them almost in all areas and aspects of the game, except quarterback and except head coach.
And then also the Chiefs offensive line is somewhat of a weak spot. They've had to put a guard in Joe Tooney, a very, very veteran guard, Joe Tooney, to left tackle, I believe, or right tackle, I'm not sure. Yep. But he's going to be slim pickings for Nolan Smith and possibly BG. I saw he was practicing today. Limited participant. Crazy. I'm really happy BG is going to get in this game, possibly. Really, really happy for him. Like, really crappy end of the year, or end of his year for him, was that in the – what game was that?
I want to say many weeks ago. It was
I had it for a second. Might have been the Dolphins game. But he deserves a storybook ending. I really do think that, especially because he was playing his ass off first half of the year. I think he was the sack leader on the team going into his injury. But talking more about this NFC title game, Davis, I thought Hurts looked great. He looked very composed on that touchdown pass at the end of the first half to Brown. Like, he let out so much emotion in that, like, 30 seconds that you're like, okay, this is different. This guy's feeling it right now. He's in the zone, and he's talking shit. Yep. He's been paying attention to everything you guys have been saying. But I really was happy to see him just kind of just rip it one time to A.J. Brown in the corner of the end zone. Like, it feels like they haven't done that in a while.
I think the play actually that should be talked about more is the 4th and 5. You know, it's 4th and 5, and Jalen threw one up for AJ about 30 yards down the field on the same drive. I mean,
that was a dime.
Who does that? Like 4th and 5, and you're not throwing something over the middle or no. Let's just throw it up to the guy that is paid to catch the football. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
why not do that on 1st, 2nd, or 3rd?
It sounds so simple. It sounds so simple to us. I understand, but it's really not. And you know, that's the type of play where we pay A.J. Brown that money to have the hands he has, and that's why he's, you know, in my opinion, still a top 10 wide receiver in this league. You know, I think that the rushing game for this team, not only with Saquon Barkley, but the threat of Jalen Hurts is so, you know, unbelievable. We had 7 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. You know, that's more rushing touchdowns than the Dallas Cowboys had all year. They only had 6 all year. We did that in about 60 minutes. I think that this Eagles team.
Yo, shout out Brian Schottenheimer.
maybe we'll talk about some. Maybe we'll do that next week. We'll talk about some coaching hires.
I'm gonna grade that one an F real quick.
I'd like to give the guy who I forget what his name is, the guy who's down in Jacksonville right now, the whole Duval. It's probably the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Duval.
But I mean, even going talking about coaches, let's talk about Nick Sirianni real quick. He is a guy. It's crazy how long we've been doing this stupid podcast for, but we did an emergency podcast when he got hired. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe we'll have to go back and clip something from it.
I can only imagine what we said.
But he had a terrible interview or press conference after he got hired. He was talking about like butterflies and flowers and making some weird analogies. I mean, this guy now, people are, you know, people call it for his head when he was 10, when we were 2-2 this year. Yep. I understand that. But there's no denying that this guy is one of the best coaches in the league, in my opinion. He still doesn't get enough credit than he should. He's like a top 3 winning percentage coach in NFL history. Yep. This guy still deserves a little bit more credit than he is due. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's going to be a hell of a battle next Sunday, and I still can't wait to watch it and keep talking about it for another 10 days.
I'm very excited. I agree with that statement. Nick Sirianni is the only coach to win the NFC twice in his first 4 seasons over the last 40 years. This guy, we talk about all these coaches. We talk about Bill Belichick. We talk about all of this stuff. He is a winner, just like Jalen Hurts. He's got the most wins in his first 4 NFL seasons with 52. That beats out LaFleur, 49, Jim Harbaugh with 49, and John Harbaugh with 49.
Yep.
He's better than both the Harbaughs in his first 4 seasons.
It's insane.
Made the playoffs every year. Every year. Like, I have to say, it is very annoying because Philadelphia is a true blue sports city, and we smell phoniness. And maybe we are too quick to point out phoniness because when – a guy like Nick Sirianni, who we don't know much about, but he comes from a city of Indianapolis. He comes in here and he starts wearing like Philly stuff and Sixers stuff, and he's trying to rep the city, and that's cool. That maybe did that a little too soon. I think Philadelphia is just a city where it's just like, not that's ours. You can't take ours. How dare you take what's ours? That's not yours. So I think people probably jumped on him too quickly for that. His opening press conference wasn't great. Remember, he was stumbling a lot. The flower analogy you just brought up, going back to this year when he was talking crap to fans after they barely beat the Browns, who, by the way, have the 2nd pick in the draft. Just to put that in perspective, we almost lost to the 2nd worst team in the NFL.
It happens.
Not that bad. The Ravens lost to the Raiders, and that
look at the Chiefs.
Fucked them.
Look at the Chiefs. They've won now 17 1-score games in a row. Like,
yeah, that's
things crazy. Just happen. It's not a perfect game.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, just a couple things here and there that were like, I don't know. But I think it's time to put that all to rest.
Yep.
Nick Sirianni is a winner. He is a guy that we want on this team. It's annoying that he doesn't call plays. It's annoying that some people think that he doesn't do anything, which isn't the truth. It's just easy to yell that when we're not playing well. But you see the kind of quote from Cam Jurgens when he – was sitting in his locker room after the game on Sunday, and they were like, why did you go in the game? Like, he was hurt. He had a bad back, but he was active, but didn't start. And he came in, what was it, beginning of the 3rd quarter when Landon Dickerson can run or walk or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he basically said that it was because Nick Sirianni has built this team into being a family, and that families do this for each other. They step up for each other, and that he really believes in the brotherhood that Sirianni built for them. And, like, I don't know. You don't hear that a lot in pro sports anymore, especially football. Like, I feel like it's a niche cliche answer that if you heard it and you weren't really listening, you probably would be like, whatever, shut up, Cam Jurgens. But for a team like this that's been through hell the last 2 years, I thought that quote was – it spoke volumes. And to me, I was like, all right, I'm going to shut up about Nick Sirianni forever now. Like, to me, he's better than Doug right now. And
yeah,
it's a hot take sort of, but, like, going to 2 Super Bowls –
like, this guy's legit. Like, he's no Doug Peterson. And there was actually a video that came out today. Golden Tate was on Marshawn Lynch's podcast, and he talked about how there was a story of how Deuce Staley got in a fight with an offensive lineman that was unnamed, that I think was Jason Peters. But they basically talked about how, like, Doug was just, like, chuckling and letting stuff happen, and that maybe we didn't really understand the really bad traits of Doug Peterson. And maybe Doug Peterson is what we thought Nick Sirianni is this last year, because look at him. He made the Jaguars a dumpster fire, and he had all the opportunity to make it a good situation.
Absolutely.
I just want to, again, give Nick Sirianni his flowers, because, I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, the Eagles haven't had this much team success ever in 5 years, ever. Like, this might be something my kids are going to ask me about, be like, Dad, what was it like that the Eagles went to 2 Super Bowls in like 3 years? Because we'd only gone to 3 before that ever, right?
We lost in 1980, lost in 2004, and won in 2017.
Yeah, so like truly, truly, truly an accomplishment. He's brought our team to like, I mean, it just doesn't matter in the NFL, but like the blue bloods in the NFL. The Eagles are a premier franchise now. Like, if they weren't before, they are now. Like, they're not, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, but, like, they're pretty freaking close. We're getting there. Like, the Eagles deserve a lot of respect as a franchise. Would we lose a lot of aura points if Jeffrey Lurie bought the Boston Celtics? Probably. I don't know if you saw that report.
I did.
But, like, Jeffrey Lurie and Roseman, like – they're going to get, like, inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame for this. Seriously. Yeah, they have built such a beautiful culture in Philly that, like, you don't ever see this in pro sports.
Yep. Look, I'll tell you this. Winning cures everything. That is the mantra that I think, seriously, you know, us as casuals can live by. But also these guys who get paid millions of dollars for entertainment purposes and, you know, putting a football – over a white line for 6 points. Like, seriously, yeah. Like, literally winning cures everything. And you can tell that it's cured this city, because there's no way in hell, if you told me or if I told you we were 2-2 earlier this year, people were calling for Nick Sirianni's head. People wanted to get a new starting quarterback in here. People were already worried about the contract we gave Jalen Hurts, that we would be on Broad Street after winning the NFC Championship game, in the droves and waves that people were. You know, there's a lot of – I really don't want to get into some of the stuff that happened down there, because I'm not a fan of it. But here's my also another –
it's point. A little bit much for an NFC Championship win. We should be focused on the Super Bowl.
Here's my point.
That's all I'm going to say.
By literally quoted by the legend and Philadelphia Eagles fan, Kobe Bryant, job's not finished. Like, I don't know why people are so happy just yet. You know, I was happy for 45 minutes. Between the 45 minutes of – us winning the game and the Chiefs-Bills game starting, I was ecstatic and thrilled. And then I was saying, you know what? I'm watching this game, this Chiefs-Bills game, which was phenomenal. Maybe we'll get into next week, because, I mean, there's still reasons to talk about that game. Watching that game, saying, you know, let's demolish whoever is going to win this game. Let's demolish both these teams. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. And, you know, I think that those Eagles players, they – had a great time. There was videos of Saquon Barkley ready to shotgun a Coors Light in the locker room, which I love.
I saw that,
But look, coming Monday morning, I bet you those guys were all dialed for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's how this team rolls.
Yep.
You know, they're hungry, and they want to eat, and I think this Chiefs team is beatable. We've seen it all year, and people have been saying it all year that they're beatable. They've won 2 games on blocked field goals. They've won a game on a touchdown by the Ravens that was out of bounds by literally a toe to start the year.
I forgot about that.
There are so many instances where this Kansas City Chiefs team, just not by the help of the refs, I'm not saying that, they just lucked into wins.
I will say it.
And I think their time, you know, to go down is right here in New Orleans to this Eagles team, who I think is the best team in the NFL.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes has only lost by double digits 4 times. Can it be a 5th time at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's insane.
Eagles -9.5, book it.
Speaking of some Super Bowl props, maybe some, you know, you want to lay a little coin on any of this?
Yes, please go ahead.
We've got some props here. You know, I just kind of put up simple ones. You know, maybe we can go into a few go more in depth next week on some of this stuff, but I just threw up some Super Bowl MVP odds, some receptions odds, because I always think those are fun, and then touchdown odds, whether it be first touchdown, two-time touchdown, or any time touchdown. One thing that sticks out to me here, and I mean, this doesn't shock me. I mean, as an Eagles fan, as someone who looks at lines like this every single week for every single game, Saquon Barkley's minus 200 to score this week. I mean,
honestly, I feel like that's not enough. Usually, it's
just, I agree.
It's usually minus 225.
The one that I don't think is enough is Jalen Hurts at minus 105 after scoring three touchdowns last weekend on the ground.
Also had three against the Chiefs in the last Super Bowl.
Yep, he had three on the ground against the Chiefs last Super Bowl. I think that some of these touchdown odds are pretty good. The one, you know, but then we can move on to maybe MVP. The one that I would take, and he's actually, he unfortunately did not make the cut on my picture. I apologize. But he would be right below Patrick Mahomes at Dallas Goedert. He's 3-1 to score a touchdown. The guy's been on fire enough to the point where they actually handed the ball off to him twice in the NFC Championship game.
That was crazy.
Actually, props were up early.
Hello, Joe Chum.
Early this week of Dallas Goedert, how many rushing yards will he have? I almost hammered it, and then they took him off the board. The guy looked unstoppable for two rushes. I mean, seriously, he was him and Saquon Barkley back there. It might be the best lightning and thunder we're going to get. Sorry about that, Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But
no, they're Sonic and Knuckles. We're good.
That Dallas Goedert is one of my favorite plays for every single prop in this Super Bowl.
I like it.
Maybe not for MVP, but
I love Smitty. I just want to throw it out there. I love Smitty. I thought he's been very quiet recently, but he still had like four catches in every game too. So I kind of like him to get a little extra love here. I don't know. I feel like Smitty gets caught in the AJ Brown crossfire so much that like people just don't talk about how good of a receiver he is. That toe tap he had in the first half of that Commanders game was insane. Kind of saved the game. If he doesn't catch that, we don't score a touchdown that drive, and who knows where the momentum starts after that. So, shout out Smitty. He's so freaking good. Before we get too deep into this, I also wanted to ask you, what's your Super Bowl future at? I know you got an Eagles future. What'd you get it at? Just tell the people.
17-1. So the Eagles now are plus 110, plus 108-ish. I have them in pockets for 17-1 to win. I'll tell you this right now, Ethan, I had a similar bet on the 49ers last year. I should probably start getting these preseason odds out. I looked this week. I put the Eagles bet in on June 8th this summer. So way early, while training camp was going on, before training camp, actually. My pick last year was the 49ers, and at halftime against the Chiefs, 49ers were up by 7 points, I believe. I thought about switching my bet, and I did not. I really was thinking about switching it, and I stuck around with the 49ers, and that did not go over well. Chiefs won there back-to-back.
That was a bad Super Bowl. We don't talk about that.
I will tell you right now, the thought will never cross my mind to hedge or switch my bet, obviously, as an Eagles fan, but unbiasedly, absolutely not, because again, for probably the third time, and I will keep saying it, I truly believe the Eagles will win this game because they are the better team.
Me too. I also have the Eagles future. I put it in November. I got it at 13-1. Love it. Loving it. Yeah. The Eagles are probably one of the more popular preseason bets, but still, we're gonna take it. we'll take our chickens where we get them. But speaking of first touchdown, Davis, is there anybody that jumps out to you that people should be betting now?
I think so. Look, you're not gonna find value, in my opinion, on betting Saquon Barkley at 450 or Jalen Hurts or and it's so hard to say. Like, what do you say?
Maybe Kareem Hunt in there too, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I really don't know who's going to be in that backfield. But again, to be honest, the Eagles' defense has been so good. Like, I really don't want to pick a Chiefs player. I'm going to go with an Eagles player here, and I'm going to go with AJ Brown at 13-1. He would be my pick. I think they're going to pepper him. They peppered him a little bit last week. He's back in his rhythm after two, I don't want to say disappointing games, but games where he only had one catch to start the playoffs in. Another guy, like I said earlier, Dallas Goedert, he didn't make the list. He's 20-1 right now. I think he would be a tremendous pick. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I love his over in catches too.
I'm pretty sure he's leading the Eagles in receiving yards and possibly receptions this whole playoffs. So getting a guy, if I told you that's that, hey, I'm going to pick the guy who has the most catches and most yards in the last three games for the Eagles, and he's 20-1. You could tell me that was anybody in the world, and I'd probably bet on it. So Dallas Goedert would probably be my pick along with A.J. Brown.
Who's the biggest lock of the Eagles receivers, Brown, Goddard, and Smith, to get their over in catches?
I'd probably go with Brown. I think that they're going to pepper him. I want to say Goddard too. You know,
DraftKings, six catches or his over 5.5 catches is +110. That's pretty good.
100%. And what, he had seven last week, or maybe even he might have had eight. Goddard had seven last week. I mean, look at even the last Super Bowl. A.J. Brown made a tremendous impact 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. And I really think that this Chiefs team is going to try to lock up Dallas Goedert. And I only say that because they have been almost historically bad against tight ends for how good they are. Yeah. They were very middle of the road, bottom of the pack when it came to defending the tight end this whole entire year. So I think that they're really going to try to focus on Goedert, especially not in the red zone where he has been a big threat recently. So I'm going to go with A.J. Brown to get his six catches. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets this pretty early, maybe halfway through the third quarter.
I like it. All right. So let's go to some other props that you found. I like the first one so much. Will a player or coach cry during the national anthem? And obviously, no. Why would a football coach cry? But Nick Sirianni had tears streaming down his eyes in the last Super Bowl. That, in all honesty, was when I knew we were screwed. Crying, and I was like, oh, shit.
Come on, it was Stapleton. I was tearing up listening to that national anthem. I still tear up listening to that national anthem.
But, like, sobbing? Like, tears pouring down your face?
It's his first Super Bowl. I bet you Nick Sirianni does not cry, but I bet you that someone does because he's been there now. That was his first Super Bowl. Like, what do you think the emotions are of, you know, you like literally?
Yeah, I probably would cry too.
You're 60 minutes away from being one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Not many coaches have won Super Bowls. Probably only 35, maybe.
Yeah,
coaches have won Super Bowls. You're in an elite tier.
A guy like me wouldn't get caught on national television like that.
He didn't know where the cameras were. At least it wasn't a bad national anthem. It was historically a great and remembered national anthem.
Fair. Shout out Chris Stapleton. You're right.
But that's an interesting one. I would take the S on that. But I would like to parlay that with no on the Nick Sirianni. Next one. How many times will the chain gang be used? There's been a lot of debate the last few weeks, especially with the Josh Allen play last week. You know, maybe you put a chip in the football. Like, what does the chain gang even do? Ethan, give me over 1.5 on this. I think this line is way too short with how many times the Eagles are going to tush push that they might bring these chains out quite often.
I like the over on this, but I hate that there's no plus sign here. I'm not betting it.
I know. Scary. Well, I don't even know where you bet these, to be honest.
You gotta do that on Bovada Springs.
Yeah, probably. You gotta put your VPN in like Bulgaria, probably. Will a kicker hit the upright or crossbar on a missed field goal or extra point? You know what I find very interesting actually about this that I just realized?
What's that?
In the bet, it says it has to miss. Which is very interesting. I've seen this go around.
Where
it can hit it and go in. Does it still count? I guess
for this odds should be better.
I feel like this was usually a very popular Super Bowl pick for the yes. With how shaky, and again, very unbiased here. I try to be unbiased. With how shaky Jake Elliott has been, I would not feel very confident in him putting one right down the middle. I don't care what it says about a missed field goal or an extra point. I take that missed out. I do think Jake Elliott will hit the crossbar or the upright at some point. He has now missed six postseason field goals in his career. He's only missed 11 regular season kicks in his entire career. That is a terrible, terrible stat to listen to as an Eagles fan. His kick percentage in the playoffs are just down horrendous.
I have an important stat. When he misses a field goal in the playoffs, we're undefeated.
Correct. 100%. That's what you call an anomaly. taking points off the board and still winning football games. Yikes.
This is not Justin Tucker, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Crazy news about him.
Fuck that
too.
Guy. Yeah.
Let's go to the last one. Then we'll quickly go through maybe a score prediction here. Color of the Gatorade that's going to be poured on the coach. Let me throw out a stat to you. The Chiefs, obviously looking for their three-peat. They have used purple in both of their last two Super Bowls. That's why purple is the favorite here. Ethan, give me green. The Eagles, when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, I believe they used green. I have heard stats, and I'm serious. Podcasts I listen to, people I listen to, literally bet this stuff. I would never – we can't even bet it here in Pennsylvania or wherever.
If you are betting this, call the number.
Yeah, call the number. I agree.
1-888-GAMBLER.
But crazy how you know that phone number off the top of your head. I'm just kidding.
I was calling last night.
Give me green. At plus 220.
So did Gatorade make a red, yellow, green flavor?
No, I think they're messing, like they're meshing.
Three primary colors, they're just lumping into one.
You know, I don't know. I don't really know. That's a wild one. There's also halftime props out there on these weird websites like Kendrick Lamar. Will he sing over 10 and a half songs?
Will he call a certified pedophile?
Yeah, I'd put that at like minus $9 right now, yeah. Especially since I heard Drake dropped his lawsuit against Kendrick Lamar. So Kendrick has full reign.
How did he file the federal lawsuit?
Drake dropped it.
Today?
No, like a few days ago. Drake was also going to sue the NFL, I think, if Kendrick played that song, and it's dropped. So Kendrick, again, his full it is factual. He has full reign to do whatever and say whatever he wants, basically.
Jesus, man.
We'll see.
I'm kind of annoyed that the Eagles are in this Super Bowl because of that halftime show, because I'm definitely going to be watching it. But since the Eagles are going to be playing, I'm going to not watch the halftime show because I'm going to be in the bathroom for like 25 minutes, probably a couple of minutes too long because I'm going to be so anxious.
I have not. The two Super Bowls that I've been consciously present for that the Eagles have played in, I have not watched a single second of the halftime show.
What Super Bowl are you not talking about? You're talking about 04?
Yeah, I was three.
Yeah, true, I guess.
What, you think you're all cool because you're almost five? Like, look at you.
I had a t-shirt that I remember. Come on.
Freaking five.
Yeah.
Jesus. Big five. I didn't watch any of the halftime shows. I'd put Davis at watching a second of the halftime show at like plus $4 right now. Feel free to take that. Text me if you want to take it. I'll take money for it.
Oh man.
Those are fun props.
Yeah, no, they're fun props. I like it. And then our last slide, are we gonna do score predictions today?
I think let's keep it on the edge of our seat. Let's talk about it next week. Let's give a score prediction next week. I think we've covered a lot today.
Yeah, we covered a lot. We will definitely get score predictions next week. But Davis, I told you I wanted to keep this podcast shorter, but like, man, I'm just so pumped about the birds, man. The birds are the bull again.
I know.
Let's fucking go.
I'm trying to hold my emotions. Like, it's been really difficult. Like, even on Tuesday, I was at work and texted my dad and just said, I was literally walking to work at like 9 o'clock. And I was like, dude, it's so crazy. The Eagles have been stuck on my mind the last 2 days. And I am way too overly confident in this game already. And he basically texted me back and he was like, you got to chill out. Like we're still like 13 days away. And I was like, I know. I'm just saying.
Dave is right. Listen to Dave.
I know. He's been there before. A few times.
He's been here before. But I want blow the whistle stuck in all of your heads for the next week. I am absolutely locked into this game. I mean, there's not much that can deter me off the path of thinking about destroying Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
It's time. Let's end this guy's career. Like, let's not let this guy get back to another Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Well, that's not really our choice. The Bills got to figure something out, but we'll just beat him every year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not good. Shout out Josh Allen. Don't watch the Sinners trailer, Josh. Don't watch it.
Yeah, or not. Or don't shout out Josh Allen. Why don't you win a big game in your life? That was pretty harsh. Sorry. Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. Go Birds!
Go Birds!